Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Good morning. Today is Friday, November 13th, and I'm your host, Steve Brown. Our top stories today: New Era of Flight, Vertiport, and quarterly results. Leading today's news: get ready for the next SpaceX flight to the International Space Station, which will take place on Saturday at 7:49 p.m. Eastern Time. While the company already completed its maiden trip to the ISS back in August, sending up astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley on a Crew Dragon capsule and Falcon 9 rocket, the latest launch comes after NASA formally authorized SpaceX for regular human spaceflight. The last time a certification was issued was nearly 40 years ago under the Space Shuttle program, but that wasn't a commercial system. NASA's partnership with American private industry is changing the arc of human spaceflight history by opening access to low Earth orbit and the International Space Station to more people, more science, and more commercial opportunities, NASA Commercial Spaceflight Director Phil McAllister declared. Other companies looking to break into the industry are Blue Origin, Boeing, and Virgin Galactic. In other news, it's not the only exciting development happening in the space. The city of Orlando, Florida, and German aviation startup Lilium have unveiled plans to build the first hub for flying cars in the U.S. The $25 million, 56,000-square-foot transportation hub, called a vertiport, is scheduled to be completed in 2025 and will enable passengers to bypass Florida's congested highways. Electric-powered aircraft, still in developmental phase, will be able to take off and land vertically, EVTOL, from the ground-based hub and reach a top speed of 186 miles per hour. Following a quieter week on the earnings front, investors had several names to watch after the bell on Thursday. Disney rose as much as 6% after revealing 73 million paid subscribers for streaming service Disney Plus. It had targeted 60 million to 90 million subscriptions by 2024. Though its other divisions, Parks and Studio, struggled during the coronavirus pandemic, and it had to forego another dividend. Cisco soared nearly 9% after starting its fiscal year with softer-than-expected earnings drop and issuing FQ2 guidance that exceeded expectations. Meanwhile, shares of Palantir bounced around and extended trading on a wider loss, though the data analytics firm showed 52% sales growth in the first earnings report since its public debut. After rotating out of stay-at-home plays on Monday, only to have a tech rally resume days later, traders have been getting whipsawed nearly every session this week. While all three major U.S. indices closed lower on Thursday, stock index futures are in the green this morning, climbing nearly 1% ahead of the open. Many are still weighing the impacts of surging COVID-19 cases and a vaccine rollout against hopes of turning the corner on the pandemic and expectations that pro-business policies will remain after last week's U.S. elections. Initial claims for jobless benefits also declined to 709,000 last week from 757,000 a week earlier, but are still well above levels of about 200,000 seen before the coronavirus hit this spring. On central bank digital currencies, my hunch is that it will come, ECB President Christine Lagarde said during a virtual panel discussion with her U.S. and British peers. If it's cheaper, faster, more secure for users, then we should explore it. If it's going to contribute to a better monetary sovereignty, a better autonomy for the euro area, I think we should explore it. It still might be 2 to 4 years before the project could be launched as the ECB addresses concerns over money laundering, privacy, and the technology involved. On the same panel, Jerome Powell said the Fed will carefully and thoughtfully review the issue, while Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey said there's a lot of hard work to think through the implications. The nomination of Judy Shelton has been stalled in the Senate due to wavering GOP support, despite the Finance Committee clearing her by a narrow party line 13-12 vote in July. With Senator Lisa Murkowski jumping on board, Mitch McConnell said he will now advance Shelton's name to the Senate floor for a confirmation vote, marking President Trump's latest imprint on the Federal Reserve. Shelton has a long history of unorthodox economic commentary, like questioning the basic role of the Fed and advocating a return to the gold standard. Being only one governor, she won't have disproportionate influence on monetary or regulatory policy, but she could dissent frequently from decisions or challenge the current Fed atmosphere. The Commerce Department backed down from a deadline yesterday on TikTok, saying it won't enforce an order that required the company to be spun off from its Chinese parent, ByteDance. The move would have barred companies from providing internet hosting or content delivery services to TikTok, effectively making it inoperable in the U.S., and there's been little comment from President Trump or the administration on what was once an energetic effort to get TikTok sold to U.S. interests. Deals currently on the table, but hung up in ongoing negotiations, have Oracle and Walmart taking a combined 20% in TikTok Global, a new U.S.-based company that would run the video service. Chinese President Xi Jinping personally made the decision to halt the listing of Ant Group on November 3rd, which would have been the world's biggest IPO, Chinese officials told the Wall Street Journal. The decision came days after the fintech giant's billionaire founder Jack Ma publicly criticized the government's increasingly tight financial regulation for holding back technology development. At that point, investors around the world had already committed to paying more than $34 billion for shares of Ant, which is a third owned by Alibaba. Since Xi rose to power in late 2012, the government has taken action and cracked down on some of the country's highest-profile private conglomerates, including Dalian Wanda and Anbang Insurance Group. China will sign a mega-trade deal this weekend with Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and the 10 ASEAN member countries, wrapping up years of negotiations before the next U.S. administration comes into office. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which covers 30% of global GDP and trade, aims to reduce tariffs, strengthen supply chains with common rules of origin, and codify new e-commerce rules. Beijing has looked to RCEP as an opportunity to write regional rules and diversify its avenues of trade amid declining economic relations with the U.S. after it pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership in 2017 and engaged in a broader tariff war. As of 6:20 a.m. today, U.S. futures, gold, and Bitcoin are all set to open in the green, with crude oil slightly down. On today's economic calendar, consumer sentiment is out at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to rate and review it below. Your feedback is deeply appreciated.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.